Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 14th, 2014. This is Monday in Holy Week. The passage of Scripture assigned to us today from the Gospel of Mark is in the 11th chapter, and it is the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. He actually doesn't cleanse the temple so much as he interrupts the commerce that is happening on the temple grounds. He interrupts the people who are making money off of exchanging currency. He interrupts the business of the people who are selling sacrificial doves and making a living there. And he does this by overturning the tables, interrupting the commerce, proclaiming that these people have turned the house of prayer for all nations into a den of robbers. He interrupts the flow of business. And in the synoptic tradition, that is, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of these writers situate this event as happening the day after Palm Sunday. And in Mark's telling of the story, this is the point in time where the religious leaders who've pretty certainly not liked Jesus before now, this is when they begin to actively seek a way to kill him. It's interesting. As soon as he interrupts the commerce associated with God, as soon as he interrupts the business of religion, as soon as he makes it clear that he is not about a money-making venture, that's really when the religious leadership gets cranky. That gives me pause as a religious leader, with all of our talks of buildings and grounds and budgets, and how much we are after in terms of the constant fundraising necessary to keep the whole operation afloat. It would be easy for me to point a finger at the religious leaders of the temple and turn a blind eye to the fact that while we are not, I hope, turning a house of prayer for all nations into a den of robbers, we are very much concerned on a day-to-day operational level with what I would call the business of religion. Be that as it may, the thing that prevents the religious leaders from immediately taking care of Jesus is that they're afraid of the crowds that are following Jesus. They're afraid of these people who have been captured and captivated by Jesus' teaching. In fact, the word that Mark uses is that the crowd was spellbound by Jesus' teaching. He was holding their attention in such a way that it made it untenable at this point in the story for the religious leaders to take an active stance against him. Well, I've been thinking a good deal about what does it mean to be spellbound by Jesus' teaching. I wonder if we're spellbound by it anymore, or if it has simply become so tangled up in our religious speak and our churchy traditions that it has lost the power to capture us, to captivate us, as Jesus' teaching clearly did for his early followers. And maybe it is that we know just enough to think we know it all. I don't know. But here's a great story. A week or so ago, a friend of mine posted on Facebook about going into the Delta or United Frequent Flyers Club that's always at every major airport. And I don't remember the location of this particular club, but my friend walked in to have a bit of refreshment after a long day of travel and began to engage in conversation with the person next to her. And in the space of a bit of time, my friend explained to this person the story of Jesus, the story of Holy Week, and the story of Easter. And as hard as it may be for some of us who are in and around church all of the time, It was the first time my friend's conversation partner had ever heard the story. And at the end of my friend's narration, her conversation partner said, "That's beautiful. A beautiful story of love and hopefulness." In some ways, my friend, as a witness to Jesus, had seen firsthand how this story can captivate and capture and indeed hold people spellbound. My prayer for me and for the congregation I serve and for Christians in general is that in this Holy Week, with so much going on liturgically, but also, as I mentioned yesterday, while our entire lives continue to unfold around us, that perhaps there would be a moment here or there where we would hear the story again as if for the first time and be captured and captivated by it. And in a world of perpetual distraction, that we would be held, if only for a moment or two, spellbound by the greatest story ever told. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.